And he cured many who were suffering. There are two forms of suffering or evil in the world. There's moral evil or suffering and physical evil or suffering. Moral suffering or evil is when others hurt us. They steal from us. People attack others. There's terrorists, wars and so forth. And that causes much angst in the human mind. But apart from that, there's what we call physical suffering or evil. And that's when the innocent people suffer. A child born blind, a cot death, a tsunami, earthquake. Who's to blame? There's no one. These things happen. And when the innocent suffer, people can lose faith in God. And it can cause what we call practical atheism. People become indifferent to God and agnostic because they believe, why did this happen? This person did nothing wrong. That child, why did they suffer? They didn't sin. There's no sense of justice there. Who's to blame? Of course, God is blamed. We need to unpack two important words concerning suffering. One is called the why of suffering. The other is called the what of suffering. Firstly, the why. Why is there human suffering? In particular, why do the innocent suffer? Well, if you dig deep into all cultures, Eskimo, Aboriginal, our own, Judeo-Christian, you'll find they all have a story of what we call paradise lost. That today we're living in a world that isn't quite the way it ought to be. We all believe once upon a time there was no death, pain, suffering, and something went horribly wrong. We believe in the story of Genesis that Adam and Eve, our first parents, were tempted and fell from God's grace. And the fall from God's grace caused a twist in the cosmos. Nature is now no longer our friend, but hostile. Earthquakes, tsunamis, and apart from that, horrible things just happen as a result of original sin. You see, sin caused suffering, pain and death, not God. God is not the cause of anyone's suffering. You might say, but he knows about it. Just because someone knows something is going to happen doesn't mean they cause it. You can be in a helicopter going over a busy intersection in Melbourne, see an accident about to happen, then it didn't happen, and people may even die. You saw it happen, you knew it was going to happen. Did you cause it? No. So is God therefore passive? He's just watching down upon us? He doesn't care when people who are innocent suffer? He does care. He does care, and he's taken all suffering upon himself. Well, why doesn't he stop it? Because God is not Santa Claus. God isn't Santa, up there with a big beard, and we have our wish list, and we go to him with our wish list, and he gives what we want. He's not a Santa. God is a father. And sometimes fathers let their children suffer so that from their suffering they learn. Think about a young child learning to ride a bike. The father watches the child fall off, they might scratch themselves, hurt themselves, but in the learning they then are able to ride the bike. There's a certain amount of suffering, yes, but through that they grow. And from their growing they become better persons. And people who have endured much suffering and come out the other side, although they don't wish that suffering upon themselves, they know somehow that good has somehow come from it, or a better person for it. That's what we call the mystery of suffering, that God allows it, doesn't cause it, he knows about it, but he wants us to put up with it. Why do we talk about all this? Because of the first reading, not from the book of Job, but Job. It's perhaps the oldest book in the Bible, a very long book, and the only book all about human suffering. In the land of Uz lived a man called Job. He was wealthy, big family, prosperous, great health, and God loved him. And he loved God. And Satan came along, the source of evil, temptation, and said, "You think he's just? Let's push some buttons. Let's see how holy he is." And God says, "Fine, do what you like to Job, but don't possess his soul." So all of a sudden, Job loses his fortune. Houses burn down, there's famine, disaster here and there. And all of a sudden, his family begin to die. This one has a disaster, there's an accident over there, and he's left with his wife, lost his kids, lost the property, like after our bushfires. And so, well, let's still have my good health, I can begin work again. No. He has this tremendous physical pain. Ends up with boils and sores, a form of leprosy. Even his wife leaves him. He's sitting on a dung heap and she goes away and says, "You have done something terribly wrong for God to curse you like this. I'm off as well. You stink, you're rotten, you'll be dead soon." He loses a lot. He doesn't curse God. He says, "Good Lord gives, good Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And eventually, three counselors come along. And much of the book of Job is about these three counselors giving counsel to Job. And they pitch the different arguments about suffering and pain and what's going on and why. And they leave somewhat perplexed, not in different ways. And eventually they come back. And the counselors need counseling. And who gives them counsel? Job. Job counsels the counselor. In other words, he switches the table, gives them advice. And at the end, nearly around the 37th chapter, Job then starts to think, "Wow, I'm here, I'm dying, things haven't gone well. No one can help me, even God doesn't help me." And he starts to say to God, "Why was I born? What's the purpose of my life? Would it not have been better had I never existed than endure this?" Suddenly, God appears. Chapter 38, it says, Job, who are you? Who do you think you are? Hush, child. Were you there when I created the light? Were you there when I divided the planets? Shh, hush, be silent. And God then goes on to explain who he is, or rather through the work of creation, his power, who you are, Job. You're nothing compared to me. And yet, I love you. God, in a way, is like a divine artist. And the billions of us humans are the brushstrokes on the canvas of humanity. We all have a part, a place. We all are significant, but we don't see our part. We don't see why things happen. We don't see the ramifications. We don't see the ripples in the pond, one might say, how we're all interconnected, and the effects of what we have to put up with. God sees the whole picture. He's painted the canvas. He just says, "Trust me." As a child, trust the parent. Trust me. I see the big picture. You're safe. Stay with me. Job eventually does stay with God, and in the end, gets his fortune back, better than what he was. His family, he has children, other children, and his health is most vigorous. In the end, he is rewarded because of his perseverance. And the message is very clear to us. Trust in God. You might not know why there is suffering, but God didn't cause it. He knows about it. And he asks you to do only one thing. Bear it. Pick up your burden and follow me. You see, we Christians, unlike Jews and Muslims, have God, a God, the God who suffered, and yet was sinless. We are sinners, suffering is a consequence of sin, but Christ, who is sinless, took upon himself all our suffering. The guilty ought to suffer, but not the guiltless. And so our Saviour has said, "I will endure all forms of suffering," which he did, as an example to you on what you ought to do. And then he said, "Follow me. Pick up your cross, follow me, and I will help you with your burden. I will shoulder it for you. I will enable you to keep on going, but don't stop. Don't give up. Don't fail." In other words, don't think, "Why am I here? What's the purpose?" Keep going. And then one day, in the next life, you'll see the why of everything. And the big picture will make sense. Meanwhile, we follow Christ. And we think about why he suffered for us. How much does he love us? That wounded side was gaping on Calvary for each and every person. Immerse your heart in his heart. Find him and his suffering, find the crucified Christ and your burden will become bearable. Might not make sense, but you'll cope. And in coping, one day, in the next life, God will reward you. Meanwhile, in this life, he asks you to do only one thing. And that's what Job did. Persevere. He keeps saying, the good Lord gives, the good Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Praise be Jesus Christ.